The Contractor Performance Assessment Report System, CPARS, is one of the Defense Department's most potent weapons for dealing with poor-performing companies. But sometimes contracting officers make erroneous judgments and enter them into CPARS. Then what? Contractors can sue, but even if they win, they don't really. Joining me with more, procurement attorney Joe Petrillo of Petrillo & Powell. And Joe, you've uncovered a couple of recent cases where there is some limitation on what can be done by whom in protest cases. Tell us about this one with CPARS.
Sure. Now, this is the type of case that we're seeing more and more of, where a company gets a negative evaluation in CPARS. The government says they did a poor job or maybe an unsatisfactory job. And they got a bad rating, and they think it was inappropriate. Well, there's a procedure for getting that changed. You submit a claim to the contracting officer, and you ask that the ratings be changed. There's a procedure for questioning it. And in this case, they did that, and they submitted a claim to the contracting officer. And the contractor argued that the whole thing was the result of the project manager having it in for them. And the contracting officer did improve their scores to some degree, but the contractor thought it wasn't sufficient. So they filed an appeal under the Contract Disputes Act, and that appeal was filed at the Civilian Board of Contract Appeals. And so they had one of their first appeals, and they had to decide, you know, what authority they have, and can they hear the case, and what can they do? Well, it's well established that this type of case is an appropriate appeal under the Contract Disputes Act. So there's no big surprise there. They say, yes, we can hear this case, and we have to decide whether or not the contracting officer's evaluation was arbitrary and capricious. So it's not a mere disagreement about a matter of judgment. You've got to show a fairly serious misstep by the government to get relief.
So that can bring in a lot of ambiguity and details of what happened when during the execution of the contract?
Exactly. You have to, the case to be successful has to be grounded in facts that the board can find and determinations they can make that this went beyond just a mere I disagree with you about that kind of thing. So we've got that, that basic standard. So far, unremarkable. But then the contractor, of course, says, well, if we win, we want the CPARS to be corrected. And the Civilian Board of Contract Appeals held the way that the Armed Services Board is held and the Court of Claims is held, Court of Federal Claims has held, rather, that they can't order the contracting officer to change the CPARS evaluation. So if the contractor wins, it gets a nice court ruling saying that the contracting officer's rating was arbitrary and capricious and wasn't appropriate, but the CPARS ruling stands and it stays in the system unless the contracting officer decides to change it.
Why can't the court order some sort of remedy when it finds in favor of the contractor?
Yeah, it's a lack of power that's resident in the boards and in the Court of Federal Claims. This goes back many, many centuries in the law where there was a separation between courts of law, which could do things like award money damages, courts of equity, which could issue orders that people had to obey, injunctions. And what happened here is the Contract Disputes Act gives power only to award money damages and to interpret the contract terms and conditions. It does not give the boards or court authority to issue orders requiring that the government do things.
Is there a simple legislative fix to that, or is it something that just isn't in the system?
Oh, no, that would be very easy to fix. You could just tack on a section to the Contract Disputes Act or a subsection, giving the courts and boards the power to do this.
We're speaking with Joseph Petrillo, a procurement attorney with Petrillo and Powell. And there's another recent case, U.S. Coatings Specialties and Supplies, that also goes over this ground where there's limitations on who can do what in these cases.
These two cases have that in common: who can do what and when. There is a statute which, not surprisingly, gives the Department of Justice authority to conduct and manage all litigation involving the federal government. And so when a case goes to a federal court, I'm not talking about the boards of contract appeals here or other administrative tribunals, I mean an actual court, the Department of Justice is in charge. Well, from time to time, when there are cases pending in court, contractors will go to the contracting officer and try to settle the case and maybe even conclude a settlement, but then they'll find out that the contracting officer did not have authority to do that because the matter was in court and only the Department of Justice attorney could resolve the case by settlement. So contractors have in the past gotten caught up by that. This case, U.S. Coating Specialties and Supplies, is an Armed Services Board of Contract Appeals case, and it involves a situation where the government ran into that problem. What happened was the contractor had filed for bankruptcy, and there was a dispute about whether, under bankruptcy, there's an automatic stay that keeps the parties from doing certain things. In this case, it kept the government from terminating the contract for default. And the question was whether the contractor was going to accept or reject the contract. And you know, there were a number of parties involved, including the surety, and they argued it out. Finally, they reached a settlement, and they the bankruptcy court issued a very short order lifting the stay. On the same day, the contracting officer terminated the contract for default, and the contractor cried foul. The contractor said, look, I had a deal with the U.S. attorney, assistant U.S. attorney, that my contract would be terminated for convenience. I never would have agreed to this settlement if the contract was going to be terminated for default.
Default is more of a black mark than convenience.
Exactly. It would go on the contractor's record, make it hard to get new contracts, and of course the contractor then would be liable for damages, although of course it's in bankruptcy, so what that means is unclear.
Coatings had an empty paint can at that point.
Right. That's exactly right. And here the contractor was in Chapter 11, so it was trying to reorganize and then continue operations. So when the government did not take action to reverse the termination for default, the contractor appealed it to the Armed Services Board of Contract Appeals. And the government came in and said, wait a minute, the contractor in this case should be dismissed because the contracting officer never gave his authority to terminate the contract or to settle the matter to the U.S. attorney. There was never any delegation of authority. So, even if the contractor's right about this side deal he had with the U.S. attorney, he's not going to get any relief. Well, the board went back to that statute that I mentioned, which gives the Justice Department the authority to manage litigation, and said, sorry, once the case was in bankruptcy court, the contracting officer no longer had the authority to take action, and the Justice Department attorney did have authority to conclude this deal. So it hasn't ruled yet on whether or not there was such an arrangement, but this was a preliminary motion for summary judgment, and the government lost on that question. So now the case goes to a hearing in which the contractor has to try to establish that it had this arrangement with the U.S. attorney.
So there may yet be sugar for Coating Specialties.
There may yet.
Joseph Petrillo is a procurement attorney with Petrillo and Powell. As always, thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
Find a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.